Good evening, church. It's an exciting night to be here. And the elders here in a little while will be setting apart Jason Stoner as for the work of an evangelist. With that said, those that know Jason knows that he had been set apart before up in Bronson. And worked as an evangelist up there for many years. But he come and shared with me, and I thought it was an admirable idea. We shared it with the elders. They concurred that he desired the elders that had ordained him up there. None of them are elders anymore in the congregation up there or anywhere. So he wanted to be accountable, responsible, and held. It benefits him, and it benefits the church at Harlan, because with his work out at the children's home, he is out and about speaking quite a bit, he just wanted to be under an eldership that would have his back, in case somebody would question something or say that he was preaching something wrong, they would be able to question or share with the eldership here their concerns, and then the eldership will vet that out. But I will say this, and I know no man's perfect, but Jason's pretty close. It just shows his desire to be above board on so many, on all these things that we find in Scripture. And so one of the exciting things that we've got that we're sharing tonight is that I'd ask his dad, Jay Stoner, to come and be a part of this. So Jay's going to come forward at this time, have our opening prayer and a passage of Scripture he's going to read, and then we're going to have Jason give him a message. So Jason, if you would like to come forward here at this time and sit on the front row, and then we'll let turn over to Jay here.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, a very great time to be together. Always a great day to be together on the Lord's Day. Amen. Jason is not a perfect man. Betsy and I had to work on that. I didn't wear out too many belts, but do not be afraid to spank your children. It's a good thing. Let's go to God. Dear God, I thank you so much for this time that we could gather together tonight and worship you in song and go to you and read your word again and make sure we're applying it properly. We thank you for these men that are going to set Jason apart here. Thank you for Dave and encouragement there also to, and each Christian here that has encouraged Jason to do your will and walk in your ways. We thank you so much for your word and the guidance it has in our lives. Just pray that Jason will stick with that, raising his family, loving his wife, loving the church, loving your kingdom to see many come to you through the results of his labor. As we come together tonight, just pray that these things will be in praise and worship to you and will glorify your name and all that was said and done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to be reading there in verses 11 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 11. It says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." Does that sound like some good quality characteristics to have in your life? Verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So you are the witnesses here tonight, okay, to keep Jason on track, the eldership here, to help him fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life to which each of us have been called. Verse 13 says, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Jay, for that, starting us off here. And as I went through my notes to pull up, so I had deacon ordination, elder ordination, those things that I've set individuals aside. But see, Jason's an evangelist. So another evangelist doesn't set another evangelist apart. The eldership does. And that kind of helps us with that check and balance, that working relationship that one also has with that. So I didn't have a message for this, so we had to put one together. So worked on it a little bit, sat down with Jason, shared some of the things that we'd be sharing. And so some of this may be stuff that you all know, but some of it also may be a reminder. Some of it may be new stuff to you as well. So I'm excited to be able to deliver this message, not only specifically to Jason, but to all those that are listening. And also those it just goes again. We need to be reminded of church polity from time to time, and how things work according to the Bible. And so, as many things in Scripture, when we're not given an abundant amount of information, we must carefully examine those few passages that we do have that are given and wisely discern the intent of such verses. In the process of a man being ordained to the office, that was also another thing that as I was typing out the title, it says the ordination of a man to the office of an evangelist. We live in a world today where that's not so obvious. Unfortunately, even in our churches, that there it would be a man that is set aside to this position. As we look at this, in this process of a man being ordained to the office of the evangelist, we must first look at all the verses that discuss someone that is going, that is, or is going to be in that said position and the details involved in that charge. The discussion, the Bible discusses ordination in places such as Acts chapter 13, 1 Timothy, other New Testament passages. Acts chapter 13, this is when Paul and Barnabas, Saul here and Barnabas are being set aside by the Holy Spirit and are ordained or by the elders in the church there as they get ready to go out and engage in missionary ministry. So what this does then is give them the opportunity, as we'll see later, that when they go places, then they ordain elders and put them into their positions. One thing we find that is interesting believe necessary, that the leaders that ordained Saul and Barnabas fasted. They fasted and they prayed and they laid hands on the men to commission them to the work that they were at hand. Why is this important? We say prayer, yes. Fasting is a time for us to regain that focus, to really hone in on what we're praying about. It's good to deny ourselves of some earthly earthly desires, such as food and those things, to focus on, to deny ourselves of physical pleasures and necessities so that we can focus on spiritual ones. The biblical meaning of ordination or to ordain means to set in place or designate. Ordination in the church is the recognition of a person's qualification and gifting for ministry. In the Bible, ordination is the act of setting apart someone for a specific role in the church. In this case, in that role of evangelist, it can also mean to designate or commission someone for a task. The Bible mentions ordination in several places, including, as we said, Acts multiple times, 1 Timothy, and in Titus. Examples of ordination, we have Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, where deacons were ordained or set apart by the church in Jerusalem to take care of the task at hand there. Acts 13, 2 through 4, what we've mentioned already, where Saul and Barnabas were set apart for missionary work. Then we see just the next chapter there, and we oftentimes think that that's like 10 minutes later. It's not necessarily so. Acts chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas ordain leaders as elders of the churches then, Acts chapter 14, 23. Titus chapter 1, verse 5, as Paul writes to Titus, he tells them to ordain elders or set apart elders, a term that we need to use biblically, pastors, shepherds, the presbytery. We might see that as we're looking up different places when Paul tells Timothy not to neglect the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That means there's going to be times you're going to sit and you're going to focus, and that having those men with them laying their hands on you, I'm not going to say it's nothing special, because it is. It's a reminder of the transference of power and authority given to us by the Holy Spirit. We see that in Acts chapter 20. Remember when Paul is getting ready to leave the elders in Ephesus, and he tells them to defend and guard the flock in whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And so this isn't just a recognition among peers here, although that is part of it. It's not just the other Christians pointing to a couple men and saying, yeah, they're in the good old boys club now. That's not at all what it is. This is a very serious and time for the eldership, for Jason as an evangelist, and for the congregation. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul also laid hands on Timothy to set him apart as a church leader. What's the significance of ordination? As we've already mentioned some of it, ordination is the significant part of Christian theology. It's a way to dedicate and commission members for ministry and to equip them with grace and spiritual gifts to fulfill their roles in the church. This is one of those things that we do talk about quite often on Sunday mornings in our messages, Sunday nights, that when we become Christians, we receive not only the forgiveness of sins, but we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is one of those ways that not only does it work in the lives of our elders as they set him apart here, but the Holy Spirit's been working in Jason's life long before this day, long before the last 2 years since you've been at Woodburn. The Holy Spirit's been working, and what he does is not quench the Spirit. He doesn't grieve the Spirit, but he is excited and motivated by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I think if we as Christians would see that we would be prompted to maybe be a little more excited for additional service in the Lord's church. This will happen later here, the laying on of hands. The Bible often uses the phrase of the laying on of hands to indicate ordination. We've seen this all through Scripture when ordination, maybe it's to a prophet, the position of a prophet. Maybe it's to that of a priest. Maybe it's to that of a king. especially as we saw those in the Old Testament. But now as we are in the New Testament, we see that some would be apostles and prophets, but they are no longer with us. And so now we have our evangelists and pastor teachers, our elders, that have this laying on of hands. Again, and I shared this some months ago back, and I'm not naive enough to think man hasn't messed it up. But the whole idea of ordination is that, so then, the elders had laid their hands on Timothy. Timothy and Titus then went to on different places and set the church in order and set apart elders. Those elders, in turn, would then ordain other evangelists to go out. And in the idealistic, perfect plan of God's word, that means that transfer of power. And when I say that, what I'm saying is the authorization that the Lord has given us. George has made the comment before that we only have the power or the authority of which the Lord has given us. And he has given us this responsibility to pass this on. But if that would be handled correctly all down through the ages, it would be as if Saul and Barnabas, the elders of Ephesus, how that would carry on, would have a part of this ordination service because it would be carried down through years properly as the Lord has sought out. To me, that's a pretty fantastic thing. Not as great as salvation, I understand that. But for that to be in the mind of our Maker, in the mind of the church, for 2,000 years ago, to me is a very neat and blessed thing to be a part of. And so I know Jason realizes that. We've talked about some of these things. But the men will be coming up, and they'll be laying their hands on him, and they'll be praying for him. The elders will. And this symbolizes that transfer of trust or authorization of power. Not that these men have within themselves, but that is given to them, as we looked, through the Holy Spirit. And that is pretty exciting. Rest of the things we're going to look at here are basically Bible verses. So if you've got your Bibles, don't have them on the screen. I want you to follow along and read them. We've got about four or five different categories that we want to look at. First of all is given to you, Jason, is basically just some instructions. 1 Timothy 4:1-11 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to the deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own consciences with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following." In other words, we're going to say the same thing to you as was said to Timothy by Paul, is keep on keeping on. We know your standard. We know who you follow. We know who you love. Just keep that as your goal. Verse 7, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for only old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this that we labor and strive, Because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers, prescribe and teach these things. This is what we instruct you of, Jason. And so as we've seen this in verse 10, it says, "For it is for this that we labor and strive." And I know you know this already, but it's not a holiday. It's not a vacation time. There's work. There's effort that has to be put in. There's times of that labor and that striving to make sure that we are what the Lord wants for us to be. And not that we're perfect, as we've already shared, not that we're perfect, but we are trying our best to represent our Savior. Next, beyond instructions, is simply qualifications. "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faithful, and purity." This is found in 1 Timothy 4:12-13, for those that don't know. "Show yourself as an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." And that is one of those things. I'm not always saying that I use all the Scripture that I could in messages. I try to make sure that there's plenty of God's Word over mine. But at the same time, that's part of the problem. Too many places, too many times, I know I've heard, I'm sure that you have. So somebody will get up and speak for 45 minutes, and they start it off with one little verse. And that's all that is heard, is that one Bible verse. Let God's Word dominate your messages. Let God's Word share what needs to be said. I can think of ways to try to say things, but usually all I end up doing is making it harsher or watering it down. God's Word is effective all by itself. Let it speak. Then there's the acceptance of this, which elders will, when they come forward here and have you come up, they will ask you some questions of affirmation. And so this is the acceptance, basically, of those ahead of time. 1 Timothy 4:14, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you." I think, as we look, you're receiving a special blessing. That's what ordination is, the setting apart. We used to see in the Old Testament where they would lay hands on maybe the child that would be more like the father, that he would receive the blessing, that he would receive the gift. And as they do this, so do not neglect the spiritual gift that is within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterances and the laying hand on the hand, on the laying hands of the presbytery, our elders, the bishops. Always remember that spiritual gift that is given to you. As we said, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They are helping you. You have decided to also do is to cultivate that in a greater way, and they're wanting to help you do that. Then as we look at some requirements, 2 Timothy 4:1-2, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom," that means his church, "preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." It is easy many times to get up and preach. It's not always easy to get up and preach with patience. And so that's why we need to rely on this plan that has been laid out, that these are some of the requirements to follow. It's the Lord wanting to help you out. Be ready in season and out of season. And I know you, and I've known you long enough. I've witnessed sometimes, you've told me of others, of times where, as you said, I can't just sit there and not say something when somebody's teaching a false doctrine. I've got to let them know. Keep that up. Continue to present the word. And that may mean to open up scriptures and just prove your statements of being true. It may mean being calling out a rebuke on somebody. These times aren't always the most fun ones to be involved in, but it's still necessary. And then to exhort, and then to do those with great patience, and the whole thing is with instruction so that we can lead them more accurately in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 then says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so what Paul is saying to Timothy is, Timothy, I don't think Paul's bragging, but I'm faithful. Timothy, I know that you're faithful, but there's going to be those in your life that you're going to want to spend extra time with. You are going to want to teach those so that they can teach others also. I wish it was everybody that we came in contact with, but it's not. The Holy Spirit will help you decipher those things out. But you know that as from Paul to Timothy and those that he shared with, then we rely on the elders here for guidance. I'm always there for you. Your father is always there for you. The church is always there for you. But what it comes down to is you've been given the responsibility of sharing that instruction, that word, share it with faithful men so that they can carry on that message as well. Jason, I pray and wish the best for you as you continue on this. Not that this is necessarily anything new, but just a revitalization, perhaps. But most of all, I believe it just shows integrity on your behalf of wanting to be accountable to an eldership that can straight up talk to you. And I know that you've counseled with them, and they've counseled with you on other many different things already. And not only is that an important part for a Christian to a Christian, but also I understand that as well from an evangelist to an eldership. So we pray a blessing on you tonight. And at this time, I'm going to turn over to the elders and have Jason come up here, and they're going to do some things there with him. But we'll move this to the side so Jason can have a seat here.
You can sit down. Before we go a little bit further, I'd like to say a few things. Number one, as an eldership, when someone comes to you and says, "I want to be accountable," we live in a world that that's not the case anymore. Let me just go on from where Dave just finished with in 2 Timothy 4. It says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching." Guess what? That time's here. Okay, that was written almost 2,000 years ago. We're here, okay? "But we'll have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." We're there. "But as for you, be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So just going on from what Dave's already said, I know what your dad knows and what he's experienced, what you have already experienced. We've seen that already. So for us, our decision in this was pretty simple. And so these things that we are going to ask you at this point, and once you know, everything decides not to work on for me, we'll get it another way, all right? Anyway, I lost my page. Okay, all right, let me see if I can redo it. Okay, you got him. All right, sorry. Don't you love electronics? Okay. All right. So if you will stand, okay, we'd like to ask you these questions, basically along with what Davis said. These are not the end-all, be-all of all questions. They're all things that you're going to face, but just some things that we want you to confirm in front of these witnesses, okay? So you all have a part of this, okay? You are witnesses to this as well, okay? And so Jason is not only accountable to us, he's accountable to the church here, and you are accountable to us and to him as well. This is a working relationship. I know that in our world, and not even in our so-called brotherhood, they have different views of this, but we want to take a biblical view of this. So please answer these questions for their benefit, for ours, and for yourself. So, Brother Jason, do you understand the responsibilities in the office of the evangelist? Okay. Will you be constant in preaching the whole counsel of God, no matter the circumstances? All right. Will you reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction? Okay. And will you be faithful in preaching the gospel of Christ and his church wherever you go? Okay. And are you willing to work under this eldership and with this congregation as we lead this flock and try to advance God's word in this world? All right. And will you now accept and before God and before Christ and before this congregation, as the elders lay their hands on you and pray for you, as you're set apart to do the work of an evangelist? Okay. Please be seated.
Father in heaven, we have witnessed tonight the desire of Jason and his continual work, Lord, as he's been a servant of yours for many years, and the continued work with the children's home, going out promoting promoting you and your son and the church. And as we come and we, his desire here is to work more fully in that, Lord, and just continue that work. And as we come tonight and as we set him apart and just have this extreme opportunity that we've had and we've seen, been challenged through your word and his acceptance of that and his willingness and desire to do that. We are praying for him tonight and his family and just the work that has been doing and is going to do for you and your kingdom, Lord. And we're thankful for that and the continued work that he has. And we would ask now as we share in this and as we, as David shared, that this, the possibility here is this could have gone all the way back, Lord, in this biblical example that you had in your mind and shared with the early church, and as they put that in forth, they put that forth, and as we do that today, and just share with him and our blessing, and share with him our acceptance, share with him our goodwill as he goes out and just promotes you and your son, and we're just so thankful for that. We're thankful for the charge that he's taken on. And as we, as Rick has shared, Lord, tonight, is a collective thing. It's a collective back and forth. And seeing the kingdom grow and his desire to do that, the work, again, the work at the children's home as well, just so what a great work that is as well. And as he continues to do that, continues to promote your son, we would ask a blessing upon him and this work at this time. For your sons, let me pray. Amen.
Since Jason has accepted this challenge, Jason is also married, okay, and has a family. So this is not going to just affect him. It's going to affect his family as well. And so what we'd like to do is invite them up to the stage, if you would, because we want to have prayer for them as well. It was said today that, you know, when you sin, it doesn't just affect you, okay? But the same thing, when you're put yourself in service before the Lord, it shouldn't have just affect you either. It's going to affect his family. Dave made the claim that he was near perfect. His dad gave the rebuttal before. I offered the chance for Heather to give a rebuttal. And I want you to understand the relationship they have. She couldn't do it. She was kind of agreeing with Dave. So I don't know. Good job. You're, yeah. George is going to have the prayer for that. If you want to stand with your family, you can do that.
Let's pray. Our Father and God in heaven, we come before you now, Father, as we lift up Jason before you and set him apart as the work of an evangelist. We also pray, Father, that you be with Heather and Destiny and Brock as they move forward with him in this, that knowing that the turmoils and the things that he's going to go through, he's going to need backup, not just from us elders, but also from his family at home. We pray, Father, that you be with each and every one of them as they move forward, understanding that it can be tough to be a preacher's kid. It can be tough to be a preacher's wife. We pray, Father, that you'll be with them and help them to always look into your word to understand how they need to act in certain circumstances and understand how that relationship needs to be. We thank you, Father, for the willingness that Jason has for stepping forward for this and the willingness that his family has to back him up in this. We ask that you bless them for this as they move forward. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Okay. Dave, do you have anything else? Okay. So as they take their seats and we're going to turn it back over to those to finish us with song and time for the Lord's Supper. Just encourage, continue to encourage. And I want you to also understand, Dave was talking about the work of the Holy Spirit and how, listen, grasp hold of that and embrace that. You've seen it work here tonight, okay? Not simply in what was done here with Jason, but George actually remembered all their names. That's, you see the Holy Spirit work.
Make me a servant.